We're going to dive back in to spiritual gifts. How many of you are anxious to know what your gift is? Huh? Are you anxious? You want to know? Well, you're not going to know tonight. We are going to actually give you some more foundational material tonight. That'll be our third week where we're going to explain some things to you. Next week, we're going to start taking each of the team gifts one by one. And so each lesson, you'll get a handout. You will we're going to break down each lesson, each gift the same way. We're going to examine exactly what that gift is defined, okay? We're going to look at the characteristics of the gift using a biblical character who exemplifies that gift. We're going to look at the characteristics of the gift. We're going to look at the dangers associated with the gift, you know, what the potential hazards are if you have that gift, scriptures you can memorize if you have that gift. So each week you'll get that handout, and it'll be thorough. You'll be able to have all nine gifts in your hand to examine at the end and to determine through the Holy Spirit of God what your gift or gifts are to be used for the Lord. Okay, so we're going to pray, and when we pray, we're going to go ahead and get started tonight, okay? Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for each and every person that's here. And thank you, God, for those who have come to learn about spiritual gifts. Father, I thank you for each and every class that is going on right now. Lord, I thank you for each of the teachers that are teaching all over the property, seven or eight different classes that are going on right now, plus the teens, plus the children. And I pray that you'll do a great work in each and every class. I pray that people tonight all over this property will grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Thank you for the great job, Lord, that our folks do next door preparing the food. And thank you for the great, well-attended dinner tonight. Thank you, Father, for the fellowship that's already happened and the good physical food. But then, Lord, we pray that we'll be fed spiritual food now and that we will grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We give it all over to you, Lord. We thank you for this time that we have together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and dive back in now tonight to spiritual gifts. And I think everybody has a handout. Let me real quickly ask you a couple questions. How many believers have been given a spiritual gift by God? Every believer. When were you given that spiritual gift? The moment you got saved. You probably didn't know it, but you did. You got it the moment you got saved. Are the gifts that God give, are they the same as the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. No, it's something different, okay? The fruit of the Spirit is different than the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. The gifts are to be used for ministry. See, the fruit of the Spirit, that's character traits. But the gifts are to be used, they're for function, and they're to be used in the work of the ministry, okay? Let me ask you this. Are spiritual gifts the same as natural talents? No, your natural talents are great. You got those maybe through physical genes, you know, and so forth. But these are gifts the Holy Spirit gives you. It's different than just natural talents. People say, oh, I don't have any talent. But you have a gift, see, to be used by God in the body of Christ. Then, of course, we looked at how spiritual gifts involve all three members of the Trinity. God the Father bestows the gifts. The Lord Jesus Christ then gives you outlets to use those gifts. And then the Holy Spirit gives you the gifts when you get saved. Jesus enables you to use them. And then the Father gives the results. You know, Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so the Father gives the increase. Let me ask you this. We talked about last week and we're getting into the lesson from last week now and into tonight's lesson. We said, in fact, it may be in your handout. I'm not sure if it is or not, but that first point is a review. It says a spiritual gift is the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit can minister. And does anybody remember what that blank was? Is that in the handout or no? No. Through the believer. So a spiritual gift is the primary channel by which the Holy Spirit can minister through the believer. Who is Christ's hands and feet and mouth and all that today? Who? We are the church, the body of Christ. And so God set different people in the church, the body of Christ, so that we could function as a body. You've been given spiritual gifts so that you can be a profitable, effective, efficient member of the body of Christ, so you can contribute. You know, God's plan for you is not just to be a consumer. God wants you to be a contributor, all right? And I'm not talking about giving money right now. I'm talking about giving of yourself. I'm talking about using your spiritual gift to contribute to the work of God and to the work of the ministry. So God has planned that He wants you to not just be a consumer. Sometimes we get in that mentality. Well, how can the church bless me? And, you know, we go to church and it's like the family that went home after church and you know, this one complained about the choir, and this one complained the message was too long, and this person in the family complained that it was boring, and then finally the dad, after a silence, he said, "Well, what can you expect for a quarter?" You know, amen. And he dropped a quarter in the plate, you know. But what can you expect for a quarter, he said. But, you know, sometimes we get into that mentality to where we get a consumer-type mentality. What can the church do for me? How can the church bless me? How can the church help me? Well, certainly the church is there to help us grow. It's there to assist us when we need it. I mean, there's great benefits and blessings to being a member of a church, but it's more than just take, 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 take. You know, God's plan is for you not to just be a consumer, but to be a contributor. He wants you to be a part of it. Man, I looked over there. It was so funny. I went over there and was just milling around during the dinner. And I was talking to a gentleman named, I don't know if Leon's in here or not. I don't know if he's in this class. Leon, are you in here? All right. But I was talking to a guy named Leon. He must be in another class. But Leon and his wife's name, I believe, was Kim. And I was talking to Leon. He was over by the food line. I was talking to him. He said, "Yeah, we just moved down here. So we've been here for 8 weeks. So he's been coming to the church about 3 weeks. We love it. We want to join." And I said, "Well, now, where's your wife?" He said, "Oh, she's over there serving in the food line." "She's serving. They already got her to work." He said, "Yep." So I went over and I said hi to her, and she's all smiles, you know. And then Judy Schlatterbeck said, "Oh yeah, I've already got her signed up to help with cookies for Walk Through Bethlehem." And I thought, boy, that's the way to do it, amen. But you know what? Everyone can contribute when it comes to the work of the Lord, amen. Everybody can contribute, and God's plan is for you to do that too. He wants you. Okay, question. God gives these spiritual gifts, right? Are these spiritual gifts given for self-edification? No. They're not given to puff you up and build you up. Why does God give spiritual gifts? It's to minister what? Through you to other people. Right. He gives you these gifts to be a blessing to others. They're not there for you to just be puffed up, for you to say, "Oh, look at my gift," or "Man," or just to edify and build up yourself. No, no, no. These gifts are given by the Holy Spirit when you get saved, and they are given not for self-edification, but they're given for the edification of the body of Christ. And we looked at all of that last week. And we saw last week, I think it's in your handout there, number two, a spiritual gift is a God-given capacity. There it is, a God-given capacity. In other words, it's a capacity to develop something. If I get saved on Sunday at church, okay, and I get saved on Sunday, am I going to wake up Monday and be a supernatural teacher of the Bible? No, but I may have got the gift of teaching when I got saved, right? But it's a capacity to develop that. See, when I got saved on a Wednesday night, I wasn't teaching Sunday. Now, eventually, I was teaching the Bible, you know, but it was a period of quite a few years in there where I had to grow. And so it's a capacity to develop something, all right? You got to grow. You got to grow. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Now, let's move on to number three, new territory. You ready? Number three, this is all foundational material. We'll get into the gifts next week. A spiritual gift is a heart desire. It's a heart desire. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. All right, let's go over there. 1 Corinthians 14. We're going to see this verse in a couple of weeks in our 1 Timothy series on Sunday morning. But in 1 Timothy 3:1, does anybody know what the first qualification is for a bishop or a pastor? Now, wait a minute. Some of you are probably going to 1 Timothy 3 looking, right? All right, look. It says in 1 Timothy 3 that a bishop must be blameless. All right? But that's actually not the first qualification. The verse before that says, "He that desireth the office of a bishop desireth a good work." So what's the first qualification for a bishop? Got to have a desire. That's right. You've got to have that desire. You have to want that. See? Desire. Now, I know that that verse doesn't directly address spiritual gifts, but the point is this. Before you can become an effective pastor, you must initially possess a desire. For example, when I got saved, about 3 years later, I was about 13 when I got saved, and then when I turned 16, somewhere in there when I was 16 years old, I really had a strong desire to teach and preach and to give my life to ministry work. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. That thought had never crossed my mind growing up. I mean, that was the furthest thing from my mind. But then I started thinking about it. I started really wanting it. And I remember asking my brother Steve, who led me to the Lord. He's about 9 years older than me. And I said, "Hey, Steve," I said, "how do you know if you should go into the ministry or not? You know, and preach and teach and do that kind of stuff." And he said, "I think it's just a desire." And I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, because I've been having that desire." He said, "Well, if it continues, then," he said, "just surrender your life to that and begin preparing." And that's exactly what happened. I just surrendered to that. I said, "Lord, this is what I want to do." And then at 18, I went to Bible college. And then at 20, I married Denise. That was a wise move right there, let me tell you. She knew so much more than me. I was so green. I mean, I told her, I went from, at 16, I really knew very, very, very little of the Bible. And it's from 16 to like 20, I'm like in Bible college, training for the ministry, marrying Denise, working part-time here at this church. It was like, wow, in a period of 4 or 5 years, a lot happened, you know. And I didn't think about it at the time, but I look back now and think, wow, you know. But you know how it started? A desire. Well, a spiritual gift is a heart desire. When I go through the 9 gifts with you, okay, and each week we'll take one, you're going to see one of those is wow, that's me. I have a desire to do that. Maybe you're not doing it now, but you got this desire. That's what I want to do. And it'll be like, man, that's me. That's what I want to do with my life. Go to 1 Corinthians 14. Look at verse 1. It says there, 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Follow after charity and," what's the next word? "Desire what? Spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy." We're going to see actually prophecy or proclaiming truth. That's going to be one of the gifts that we're going to cover. And your handout, it says, when God gives you a spiritual gift, He also imparts unto you a desire to perform the duties associated with that gift. All right, I'll give you an example. And again, the purpose of tonight isn't to go through the gifts, but I do want to mention a couple of the gifts and give you an illustration. One of the gifts that Romans chapter 12 lists is the gift of showing mercy. Some people have the gift of showing mercy. And so somebody may feel like, man, I got this desire that I want to comfort people. And whenever someone's hurting, you've just got this desire to want to minister to them. And you hear, man, somebody lost their spouse, and you're like, man, I've been there. And you're like, man, you're always wanting to write a note, or you want to send a card, or you're always wanting to pray with somebody or minister to somebody that's hurting. Well, it very well could be you've got the spiritual gift of showing mercy. Another example would be the gift of teaching. Some people, that's one of the gifts. One of the 9 gifts is teaching. And you may find that you've just got this incredible desire to always want to dig into the Bible. I mean, when you're on your lunch break at work or when you're doing this or that, you always want to get into the Bible. And you're always digging in and you want to study and you love to learn new truths. It just excites your heart. And you're always wanting to learn new truth from the Bible. And you know, you've got this desire when you learn things, you want to tell somebody about it. You want to share it. Maybe it's with your wife or with your kids or it's somebody at work or it's a brother or sister in Christ that you've gotten close to. And man, you learn something and you can't wait to get on the phone or email them or text them and say, man, you won't believe this nugget I got from the Bible today. Well, why? You know, well, because you might have the gift of teaching, see? Teaching is that when you've got that desire, you just constantly want to dig in, bring out that truth, and then you want to tell someone else. And as you mature as a believer, as you grow and mature, that desire becomes stronger and stronger, stronger, stronger. And you can have the gift of teaching. That doesn't mean you're necessarily going to be like in a full-time ministry position. We think of teachers as, well, but Pastor Dan. No, we got a lot of people in this church with the gift of teaching that work a secular job or they're retired or whatever, but they do an incredible job of teaching. And why? The Holy Spirit has given them that gift. They're able to do that. So it's a desire. The primary factor behind all accomplishment is desire. But desire alone won't accomplish the task. We have to feed that desire. We have to challenge those desires with the reading and the studying of God's Word. And one of the things that we're going to find with all nine gifts is that you got to get in the Word. You gotta feed yourself with the Bible. That's our source of spiritual growth. And if you don't feed yourself with the Bible, it'd be very easy to take those gifts and abuse them or misuse them. And so we're going to see that that's very important. That's why at the end of every lesson, starting next week, we're going to cover the first gift. And at the end of every lesson, I'm going to have scriptures that you need to memorize if you think you might have that gift. Because it's very important that you feed yourself with the Bible. See, what desire, don't answer this out loud, but what desire do you have to serve God specifically? Think about that. What desire do you have to serve God? Don't be fearful of that desire. Don't quench it. Most likely, those desires correspond with your spiritual gift or gifts. So in your handout, it says you need to cultivate and grow. The blank there is grow. Cultivate and grow your desires until they turn into tangible service for God. Whether it's, you know, doing some type of ministry or nursing home ministry or teaching children or working in the food line next door, there's a lot of outlets we're going to see for all these gifts. For example, remember the first week when we looked at the gift of teaching and we said, okay, the Holy Spirit gives you the gift of teaching. Then the Lord Jesus enables you to use that gift. And I gave three different examples of how someone with the gift of teaching may use the gift. And I forget what I had up there now, but, you know, you could be teaching a class. You could, thank you, she's got it right there. All right, there it is. Yeah, we said, you know, teaching. So you've got these different outlets. And we talked about actually getting up verbally and teaching. We talked about writing. Some people with the gift of teaching use that gift through writing. Some people through counseling. And then we looked at that. And so, those gifts that you have, you want to put them into tangible service for the Lord. But it's a desire. It's a desire, see? And so as we go through the gifts, I think you'll see that, all right? Number four, look at the next thing in your handout. Number four, spiritual gifts are the tools for doing the work of the ministry. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 now. Let's turn over to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Go to the right of Corinthians, several books. Ephesians chapter 4. Going to turn to the right, several books there. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at a few verses here. Ephesians 4. And let's look at verses 7 and 8 All right, Ephesians 4, 7 and 8. The Bible says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity and gave what? Gifts unto men." All right, verse 11, he's going to name some of the gifts. This isn't all the gifts, but he names some of the gifts here. And he says he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, why? Well, look at verse 12. He gave these gifts to the body of Christ for the perfecting or maturing, the growing of the saints. And then number two is for the what? Work of the ministry, Ephesians 4, 12. The work of the ministry, and notice this, remember how we said it's not for self-edification. He gave these gifts for the edifying of the what, class? Body of Christ. You see it again? How God gave the gifts for the edifying of the body. Not for you to edify you. It's to edify others. And so God gives these gifts to the body of Christ. And he gives them to mature the saints, to do the work of the ministry, and then for the ultimate edification of the body of Christ. How, now remember this, I hope you remember this. How many Christians are ministers? All should be. Amen? Brother Paul and you guys that were in deacon training know that deacon means minister, doesn't it? It means servant. Well, there is an office of deacon, but how many Christians are to be ministers? How many? All Christians are to be ministers. They're to be serving every believer. So, question, how many believers should be involved in the work of the ministry? Every believer, right, every believer. And God gives gifts, so they're like the tools for you to be able to get the job done, do the work of the ministry. It's like, imagine my car's broke down. And Brother Ben back there used to own Ben's Auto Repair. Remember that, Brother Ben? And boy, you had that shop for years, didn't you? Ben's Auto Repair in Port Orange. And you know, let's say my car breaks down, and Brother Ben sets down a bunch of tools in front of me. And I'm looking them over. I'm looking them over, and I'm sitting there scratching my head. Now what? Well, I got the tools, but I don't even know what they are. I don't even know what they're called, you know? Well, if I don't know what they are, then I am for sure not going to be able to successfully use them. Amen? And if I finally got up the nerve and the guts to pick them up and try to use them, you would not want to drive that car when I got done. I can guarantee you, you wouldn't want to drive it when I got done with it. After I got done banging away, you know, you would not want to drive that car. So, what's the point? Got the tools, but I need to know what they are. I need to know their function. I need to know what each one does, and then I need to know how to use them, right? Let me apply that. Do you think, because we know God's heartbeat, man, God wants to see the body of Christ edified. He wants to see the body of Christ growing. We know God's heart. That's what he wants. Now, if God's heart is that his body be edified, that it grow, and that it expand, and that we get more people saved and in the body, and if God wants that all to happen, do you think God has left us without the tools to do it? Has he given us the tools? He's given us the tools. All right? We've got the tools for the work of the ministry. We got the tools for the edification of the body. We've got the tools to help people grow in their faith, to minister to people, to do all those things that are needed. Okay, we got the tools. He ascended up on high. He gave gifts unto men. We've got the gifts. We've got the tools. But, just like those tools to fix the car, I need to know what tools have been given. All right, I need to know those gifts, and I need to know what they are. And one of the things we're going to do when we go through the gifts, start next week, is I'm going to define the gift at the very beginning. Let's define what this tool is. All right, so let's know what the tools are, know the tools we've been given, and then know how they're to be used. See, if God wants us to saw a board, He won't give us a hammer. If He wants us to drive nails, He's not going to give us a saw. In other words, in your handout it says, God is a wise God, and God imparts to us the tools that we need in the form of spiritual gifts. If we allow Him, He will teach us and show us what they are and how to use them effectively. He will show us what those gifts are, what the tools are, and how to use them effectively. So we need to yield to Him, and we need to yield to Him. He'll reveal to you what your gift or gifts are, how to use those gifts for the work of the ministry, for the edification and the building up of the body of Christ. Now, class, listen. I really want you to make this a matter of prayer. All right, let's not just come in here in the flesh each week and study. I want you to pray, starting tonight, pray every day that the Lord will help you to see and recognize what the tools are. You say, well, but Pastor Dan, if I've only got one or two gifts, you know, what if I come the first week and bingo, you nail it, that's my gift, and I don't need to come the next 8 weeks, right? No, that's not true. Because do you think there's benefit in you knowing what other people's gifts are? Absolutely. You need to know what their gifts are. You need to know what makes them tick. You need to know how they're going to be able to help the body of Christ, where they fit in. It's not enough for you to just know your gift. You need to know all the tools, because that's going to help you immensely in understanding how the body of Christ functions, how it all comes together, how it all fits together, you know? And so it'll be such a benefit. And you may find that you have more than one gift. You may find that you've got two gifts or three, you know? So I encourage you to come each week and learn what these gifts, learn the tools, all right? Number five, a spiritual gift influences one's motives. A spiritual gift influences one's motives. Give you an illustration. Let's say that you're driving down the street, all right? And say maybe you're going down Big Tree down here. That's kind of a two-lane road, right? Big Tree here. And you're going down Big Tree Road. And all of a sudden, this car is going like 90 miles an hour. And you see it coming. And you're thinking, that person's nuts. They're crazy. They're nuts. And they come right up on you. They begin tailgating you. They're honking at you. They're motioning, making motions for you to get out of the way. And they're laying on that horn. And they're right on your rear bumper. And they are going crazy. Then all of a sudden, man, they wheel around and they cut you off. Well, by this time, the grace of Jesus Christ has left you. And you are ticked off. I can't believe how mad people get driving today. Can you? I don't get that. I really don't. I don't understand road rage, but a lot of people have it, man. And I think one of my spiritual gifts is making people mad when I drive. I'm kidding. But I do. I don't know what it is about me. I'm thinking, man, I'm going the speed limit. I'm doing just what I ought to be doing. And I don't know, they just don't like the looks of me or something. They get mad just looking at me. And have you noticed how mad pedestrians get today? I don't remember that. When I was a kid, I was always taught to get out of the way of the cars. That's what I was taught growing up, you know, is that get out of the way of the cars. Nowadays, it's like the other way around, which is fine. I get it. I understand. But people get mad. And that actually, what I just told you about the going crazy, driving nuts, that actually happened when I was growing up. I was a kid and I was with my mom, I think. And our neighbor was doing that. Well, anyway, I'll finish that story in a minute. Let me first finish this. So you got this person behind you doing all these antics. Well, now you are ticked. And you're like, man, I am going to follow them and give them a piece of my mind. So you trail them. And I mean, you're ready to let them have it. How dare you act that way? How dare you? And I mean, you're ready to let them have it. And you follow them. And you follow them right into the hospital emergency entrance. And you pull up behind their car, and a mother gets out of the car in tears, frantic, and you look in the back seat, and her child is back there, and there's blood everywhere. And that child's weeping and crying. Let me ask you a question. Does that change how you feel? Yeah. Now you understand. Now you get it. Why that actually happened. Like I said, my neighbor, one time it was me actually that was bleeding in the back of the car. I was playing baseball with kids older than me, and they always put the smallest kid at catcher because nobody wants to do that. So I was just glad to be in the game. So they said, you got to play catcher. I said, sure. So I'm playing catcher with no equipment or anything, and he comes around like this and caught me right there with a bat. And I had to be rushed to the hospital. My parents were never out of town, but they happened to be out of town. My dad had a business trip. That was only like once or twice in my whole life I remember that. And they were gone, and the neighbor had to rush me to the hospital. And, yeah, you know, when you get there and you see that bleeding child, it changes your whole perspective. You now see their motive. Let me apply that, okay? In your handout it says, When we begin to understand the concept of spiritual gifts, it helps us to understand why people act the way they do many times. As we begin to study the strengths, the characteristics, the weaknesses of each gift, and by the way, each gift, there are potential problems and there's weaknesses that can be there. And then there's great strengths. And they have a desire for certain things. So it starts to give you insight in our relationship with other people in the body. For example, one woman gets aggravated with another lady at church, and she says, I don't understand her. She is always wanting to help everybody and always getting involved in everybody else's problems. And she always ends up getting burned. And I don't understand why she's always got to get involved with everybody else's issues and problems and always trying to help everybody in the world. Guess what? She's probably got the gift of showing mercy. That's why she's that way. Now, when we study this and you see that, you'll begin to understand that. See? It's like this. A wife says, boy, my husband aggravates me. Really? Why? He is forever somewhere in the neighborhood fixing something for somebody. Meanwhile, we got five things that need fixing at our house. I can't get him to do any of it. He's down the street helping some old widow lady fix this, and then he's over here helping some kid fix his bike, and then he's over here doing that. But you know what? When she begins to understand, wait a minute, he's got the gift of serving. And we'll study that gift out, and you'll see. She finds it a little easier now not to accept it. And again, it's not making excuses for us, but you begin to understand he's serving God that way. That's how he feels useful. That's how he feels he's contributing and serving God, is that always helping somebody, you know, with manual tasks. Then you got this lady over here always helping somebody with their problems and trying to, you know, comfort them and be there for them and get involved in their problems. Mercy showing. One spouse is always wanting to give something to somebody. I mean, above and beyond the normal giving to the church. I mean, we all know we should give through our local church, but I mean, this spouse is always, I mean, anybody with a sign at a street corner, you know, and they're wanting to give them a dollar or two or whatever, you know, and I mean, always wanting to give, sometimes to the detriment of your own personal finances. And so the one spouse doesn't get it and thinks, why is she such a sucker for every need that comes along? And then when we go through the gifts, you're going to see one of the gifts is the gift of giving. And okay, I see now. I understand what makes her tick. I understand that. And again, you know, there's dangers with each gift, so we're going to go through those. But you begin to see it and understand it. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Let me show you something real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're all members of the same body, right? All right? But we're all different. All right, look at 14. 1 Corinthians 12, 14. 12, 14. For the body is not one member, but what, church? Many. If the foot shall say, well, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. By the way, the context of this chapter is spiritual gifts. Verse 19, and if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, he says, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. Necessary. And verse 23 says, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Verse 27, now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Let me give you the next blank. It says in your handout, we are all members of the same body, but we're all different. It says, when we come to understand and appreciate each other's gifts, it will create unity in the body. When we come to appreciate each other's gifts, we'll have that unity in the body. It's like the preacher, one night he was preaching, he was a guest speaker. And afterward, he went over to one of the members' homes, and the member happened to be a doctor. And the doctor said to the preacher, he said, Do you know what one of the most important parts of your body was tonight while you were up there speaking? And the doctor said, I thought my tongue. And the doctor said, well, yeah, that's important, but you know what one of the most important parts of your body was? And the preacher said, no. And the doctor said, your big toe. He said, my big toe? He said, yeah. He said, if you didn't have a couple of big toes, you wouldn't have been able to stand up there at all. You wouldn't have been able to walk or stand up there. And the preacher said, I thought a lot about that. And he said, I thought, what if I went somewhere to preach and my big toe would rebel and say, look here, I refuse to go. I've been going with you for years and you've never called attention to me. People see your lips and your tongue and your face, but they don't ever see me. Why don't you take your shoe off and your sock off and why don't you let them look at me sometimes? Well, folks, I don't think you'd want to see my big toe tonight, would you? But is it important to the body? Yes, it is. And you know, that's the way the body of Christ is that some of us say, well, I'm just a big toe. Why, nobody ever looks at me. Nobody ever notices me. I'm just back in the kitchen cleaning up after the dinner on Wednesday night, or I'm doing this or that. Nobody. Well, that's what Paul said. He said, the members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Can I get an amen? Number six, a spiritual gift is a divine responsibility. It's a divine responsibility. How many believers have gifts? I keep emphasizing that. I want you to get that. We all have a gift to be used, right? All right? You know that old song, I'm in the Lord's army? Right? If you're saved, are you in His army? Yes. If you're saved, you're in His army. Right? So, the question is not really, are you in His army if you're saved? You already are. You've already been enlisted. You know, the question really is, are you a draft dodger or not? Amen? Because if you're a Christian, you're already a member of God's army. Now, has God equipped you for battle? Yes, He has. He's given you spiritual gifts, and you have a divine calling and a responsibility to use that gift. You remember the verses that we read over there in Ephesians 4 about the gifts, you know, and how He ascended up on high, He gave gifts unto men, and then He named some of the gifts, and He said it's for the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, do you know how that chapter started? Ephesians 4:1, here's how it started. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. You see, all of us have a divine calling and a responsibility to use the gifts that we have been given. God does not ask you to do a job and then not equip you to do it. And in your handout it says, we will all be held accountable before Christ one day for how we have developed and used our spiritual gifts. The Bible says, I'll just read it to you for time's sake. In Romans 14 it says this, let me read it. It says, why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We're all going to give account. What if today you had to stand before the Lord, Jesus Christ? And what if you had to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and you had to give an account for how you have developed and used your gifts? Think about that. What if you had to stand today and give an account for how you have developed and used your spiritual gifts? It's very, very important. This class is very important. And in your handout it says, discovering your spiritual gifts can remove the frustration and confusion from serving God. You know why a lot of times we're miserable in what we're doing for the Lord? Sometimes we're miserable because we're involved in something that's outside of the realm of our gifts. We're trying to do something we're not gifted to do. And when you're trying to do something that you're not gifted to do, you're going to be frustrated. You're going to be aggravated. That's like I said earlier. If I was trying to get out there with those tools and fix my car, I'd get real frustrated. Why? Well, because I wouldn't know what I'm doing. And I don't understand the gifts and that. But in the same way, a lot of people, they try to do things they're not gifted to do. That's why this class is important. Once you realize where your desires are and you realize what you're gifted to do, well, now you can get busy trying to find ways to use that gift. And some people want you to be involved in what they're interested in, you know. And sometimes you'll get people in your life, whether it's a husband, a wife, you know, a brother or sister at church, and they maybe are mentoring you. And they expect you to be interested in what they're interested in. And what you got to understand is that just because you're close to somebody at church, and just because you love them, and just because maybe they're even your mentor, doesn't mean you're gifted the same way. Does that make sense? And those of you who are mentoring other people, or you're trying to help out other people along, don't expect them to be a replica of you. They need to be who God made them in Christ. And like, for example, I'm thinking about this right now because of Walk Through Bethlehem. We're gearing up for that. In fact, this Sunday we're going to mention it on the care card, and then the next Sunday we're having the big volunteer thing. So it's just fresh on my mind. That's why I use that analogy. But Walk Through Bethlehem, oh, you got to get involved in my area. And, you know, we tell someone that we're close to at church. Well, maybe that's not an area where they're gifted. See? So you've got to let them be who God made them in Christ. I'll just real quickly do this. I was hoping I'd have time, and I do. I got a couple minutes. So the team gift, I call them the team gifts. And that's what we're going to really focus on. Most of them coming out of the book of Romans, some out of the passage in Ephesians that we read. Corinthians is really dealing with a lot of the miraculous apostolic sign gifts that were there in the early church for a specific reason. And as a testimony to the Jews require a sign. So a lot of those sign gifts were there temporarily. Paul said, tongues shall cease, you know, and he talked about how some of those gifts were going to eventually be done away and cease. So our focus isn't the miraculous sign gifts. I don't think that's not how God's functioning today. But he does list nine, we know definitely there's nine what I call team gifts that he gives for the work of the ministry, as we read, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And those are, I'm going to read them off. You don't have to write these down because we're going to go through them each week, but they're evangelist, prophet, teacher, the gift of the exhorter, pastor, shepherd. Those are together, pastor, shepherd, showing mercy, serving, giving, and administrator. Which deals with leadership type gifts. And what's interesting is that then when you take the nine gifts, you can break those down into two groups. And that is there's speaking gifts, and then there's ministering gifts. And the speaking gifts, such as like evangelist, prophet, teacher, exhorter, these gifts, speaking gifts, you know, are going to tend to be more public. The ministering gifts are people who are happy to work behind the scenes, you know, supporting the ones who maybe have the speaking gifts, but they're fine with that, they're happy with that. And it's about half and half. About half of them are speaking gifts, half of them are more ministering gifts. And the ministering gifts are people who aren't kings, but they're king makers. They're excellent at working behind the scenes and, man, getting the job done, getting things done. And the ministry couldn't survive without them. And then there's the speaking gifts. So it's a good mixture. And we're gonna you know, take them in order. We're going to go through them one by one. And you may be thinking, you know, Pastor Dan, I know that there are spiritual gifts, and I've heard you talk about them, I've heard you mention them, but Pastor Dan, I don't have any idea what my gift is. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with not knowing, okay? There's nothing wrong with not knowing, but there is something wrong with not finding out. Y'all hear that? There's nothing wrong with not knowing, because odds are you've just never studied it out, never been taught. There's nothing to be ashamed of in not knowing. But there is something wrong with not finding out. You see, you need to find out. And then in the next few weeks, like I said, we're going to begin one by one. We're going to go through these. And I want you to pray. I want you to come in prayed up each week and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to identify that. You know, a lot of churches, they'll do like spiritual gift tests and all that. And I'm not real big on all that. I feel like you've got the Holy Spirit living inside of you. And if we can go through and show you what the gifts are, don't you think the Holy Spirit can show you what your gift is? I mean, He can. You don't have to take some man-made test to figure out what your gift is. All right? So that's coming up. All right?